Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Church, before we get going tonight, good evening. I trust you're all excited to be in the house of the Lord. Good place to be. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, every night, always a good place to be here. Many of you will know, I can see by the faces, that we got some of our seasoned locals here tonight. So most of you are aware of the five-part spiritual growth series that we have. It used to be called Foundations, taking a new shape now, being called Encounter. And I just want to take a moment while we're taking up the offering to encourage you guys around this. There's nothing profoundly church-specific to that. I'm trying to find the words. I hear a lot of people assess this spiritual growth series that we have, and hear a lot of talk on the outside, and I'll share it with you. Shofar Christian Church is known by it. It's fairly unique to us as a church. And at times people misinterpret what this spiritual growth series is all about. Yeah? I've even heard at times it's the levels. Yeah? What level are you at? What the pot gemors. In English, what a load of hogwash. It's got nothing to do with levels, point of entries, and stupid things like that. It's a five-part spiritual growth series. That's what it is. It's not as if you progress from one level to the next as you go through this. Come on, people, that's a lot of hogwash. All right, this is it's basically a seminar that we have. Many other churches have it as well. Hillsong has it as well. It's called Encounter as well. I've never heard someone say that Hillsong has levels of growth. Baffles me. But nevertheless, getting back to that, the first one passed on Saturday. It's called Life Encounter. It's the first chapter in this walk that we take. Let's call it a walk. All right? The second one we had last week, you see, these things are staggered. The first one's the first Saturday of every month. So if you haven't done it, I promise you this thing is life-changing. All right? It's going to give you a new perspective on the foundational principles of the Christian faith. That's what it is. So if you want to do that, the first Saturday of every month, right here in the hall at 8:30, we do that. The second one's called Home Encounter. This is fairly staggered. We do about two a year. We do it in small group context as well. We had one last week. Some of you sitting here tonight attended that, and you know it's great. It's phenomenal. It's life-changing as well, and all's good. Now, there's a tendency in this process for us to do the first and the second one. Now, when it comes to the third one, this is where it gets tricky. You see, the first two are day seminars, 6 hours, 4 hours maybe, depending on who's talking. If I'm there, it tends to become a bit long. Praise the Lord that I moved on from that. But it's single-day seminars. Now we come to the third one. It's a three-day seminar. All right, spans over 3 days. The fourth one spans over 2 days. And somewhere in this process, we tend not to take that step from the second one to the third one. Guys, I want to encourage you. If you think one and two was life-changing, then you in for one heck of a treat when you do the third one. You want your life to be changed. You want the Lord to walk in and rattle you and shake you and change you and transform the way you relate to Him, relate to others, relate to your family, your friends. And that's 3 days where we allow the King to enter in and do what He wants to do in our life. The reason why it's 3 days is this is not oppervlakkig, all right? There's nothing wishy-washy about that. That's where we allow the King entry into our lives to bring about sincere change. I'm talking about this because the third installment starts next week Sunday. Day one, the Saturday thereafter, day two, the Sunday thereafter is day three. 3 days that we take out in our life to have our life completely transformed. I reckon personally that's one heck of a great deal. I can testify of the value of foundations and encounter, and specifically the third one's called legacy. It deals with your legacy. And I can testify of just what that did in my life. the shackles that had broken my own life. Guys, I want to encourage you. I don't know what it is that makes that transition to go further with this that hard. But tonight, I want to encourage you. Be bold and take that step. Go for the third one. People, it's going to change your life, yeah? And come on, let's be honest. That's why we sit here every Sunday. It's to have our lives changed. So the Lord's asking for a few more days from some of you to dig deep and allow Him to dig deep. And I'll tell you, the product that comes out on the other side, oh my word. See, Ewan sitting there shaking his head. Yes, he did it the last round. No skatala kop. They know what I'm talking about. Life changing. The trick is registration closes tonight. Because it's not a day seminar, you can't just rock up and do it. Unfortunately, we need to plan for this slightly different to the others. Registration does close tonight. I want to encourage you guys, before you duck out here, if you need to do it, get to the info table, put your name on the list. If finances is a problem, who cares about money? We serve a king that owns all the gold and all the silver. We don't need the world's money, all right? So don't let that be a reason not to do this. When it says paid, it just say, trusting the king to pay for me. That's good enough, all right? He will pay for you. I promise he'll pay for you. Then immediately thereafter, we jump straight into the fourth installment, which is liberty. Now, I've been ranting and raving about legacy. Oh, my word, liberty will rock your boat, people. 2 days of worshiping God, and that's all we do. And you see Him open blind eyes, deaf ears, remove scales from you, lift you out of the ashes. That's what He does in liberty. That's the Friday and the Saturday immediately after F3. Guys, if you want to do this, you need to register for these things, yeah? It's not just that pay-as-you-go system, I rock up and I participate. We need to plan for you. So church, I want to encourage you, take the opportunity, if you haven't done it yet, to climb in and do it. No better time than just prior the holidays, yeah, for the Lord to come and do something crazy profound in your life. Allow Him that opportunity. So on a more serious note, let's get into tonight's sermon. Yeah, lamb chops and shepherd's pie. I'm hungry all of a sudden. I'm hungry, yeah. We actually had lamb chops for lunch. My wife makes phenomenal, phenomenal lamb chops. But that's got nothing to do with the sermon, just so by the way. I'm going to talk about food tonight. But in John chapter 10, Jesus uses the image of the shepherd to draw a contrast between His leadership and that of the Pharisees that has basically manipulated and persecuted and run over people during the entire period of reign. If you read John chapter 9, it puts a lot of context to John chapter 10 and around leadership styles, the leadership style of Christ and the leadership style of the Pharisees at that time that was sort of the who's who, you know, in the religious zoo, that type of thing. So the Lord uses the image of the shepherd to draw contrast between the two leadership styles. Now in the Old Testament, we see God using the image of the shepherd to illustrate His care for Israel, yeah? We know that the Middle East, the ancient Middle East at that time was primarily an agricultural society. So the shepherd is a common figure in literature. We see it a lot throughout the Bible. And besides God Himself, kings and other leaders were portrayed as shepherds as well in their role of defending, protecting, and guarding the people of Israel. So this is a common occurrence of the shepherd throughout the Word of God. However, as we read on, we get to the New Testament, something profound stands out, and that is the reality that Jesus Christ is our true shepherd. And amen. Jesus Christ is our true, legitimate shepherd. He claims that title. That title has been prophesied over Him in the Old Testament as well. God says, I will send a shepherd to my people. He will come from the seed of David. And Jesus Christ comes into the fold and He basically says, I am the true shepherd. We can't dispute that. By no means can we dispute that. But at tonight, I want to put a twist on it. Even though Jesus Christ is our true shepherd, we must remember that we, and when I say we, every single one of you sitting here has also been called to positions of ranch hands and under shepherds. I'm going to qualify my statement. Every single one of us sitting here has been called to a position of either a ranch hand or an under-shepherd. Bearing in mind that somewhere in this equation, you're still a sheep. So now I need to explain this to you. Christ is the true shepherd that delegates authority to us on earth. With that delegated authority comes a position of leadership. Why I say a ranch hand or an under shepherd is because, believe it or not, you will never be the true shepherd. That's Jesus' title. So you're a ranch hand or an under shepherd. It works for God. The kingdom works in that way. The kingdom of God works with an hierarchy. He loves it. Makes sense for him. It works. That's how we sustain church. That's how we sustain life, through hierarchy, leadership. Divinely placed individuals that's been put into our lives, ordained by Christ himself to fulfill those positions. Now, no matter if you're a ranch hand, an under shepherd, the one that cleans the sheep pen, whatever you are, all right, whatever Christ has appointed you to, always remember you're still a sheep. Because there's a hierarchy, there's always going to be someone above you, right? This is interesting. We need to face reality with this. This at times becomes tricky because now we're getting all secular, right? We're talking structure and leadership, what a lot of nonsense. The kingdom works on the same grounds as well. We need to accept that. So no matter where you are in the hierarchy, you're still a sheep because Jesus is right at the top. We're all his sheep. So in the light of that statement, I want to ask you a question. How often do you assess your following style as a sheep? And how often do you assess your leadership style as an under-shepherd? Something to think about. Because this is of vital importance to the success of the church. The success of the church is largely dependent upon our ability to both lead and follow. It's actually as easy as that, as simple as that. John Bevere, a lot of you know him. What a phenomenal preacher. Writes good books as well. He's got a book out there, Undercover. If you haven't read it, we've got a few on the info table. I'm throwing a promo here. And I think it costs about 80 rand, It's a good book to get your own copy. Take it home. Read it in your own time if you want to. But I'm going to give you a snippet out of Undercover now. I'm going to quote him. John Bevere says in that book, in my experience, I've come to see that Westerners, now let me qualify Westerners. Westerners are dwellers of democratic nations, yeah? He says that according to his experience, Westerners are some of the most resistant people to following, hearing, and doing the word of God. I'm paraphrasing him a bit, but it's his principle, all right? He says the reason for that is fundamental. It's hard for us to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. He goes on and he says that democracy is good for the nations of the world, but the kingdom of God is exactly that. It's a kingdom. The reality of that church is a kingdom is ruled and run by a king. And in the kingdom, there's order, there's a rank, and there's authority. He closes this off by making the statement that I love the most. He says, the laws of this kingdom is not superseded by or subject to personal opinion. And I want to add on to that. I want to say that the laws of this kingdom cannot be swayed by what we believe to be good for ourselves. He really closes off the statement by saying, if we continue to live as believers with a cultural mindset towards leadership and authority, we will at best be ineffective. The words of John Bevere. You know why it's so simple for me to basically quote this man verbatim out of his own book? It's because something that I read and it stuck by me through all the years. And it stuck by me for a simple reason, because it challenged the socks off my feet. A large part of me did not want to agree with what he was saying. And when I read it again, I realized the Westerner he speaks of, he's speaking about me. It's hard for me to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. And I needed to open my own heart up to the Lord and allow him to establish kingdom principles in my life to understand this. And once I grasped it, man, I can quote undercover. It's as easy as that. It's written on my heart. Because there's an understanding around those principles. Tonight I want to share a passage of scripture with you that's going to show you exactly how it is to live the life of both a sheep and an unshepherd. Yeah? We're going to go to the book of John. We're going to read from chapter 10, verse 1. You can follow me up on the screen there. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And what Jesus normally does there, he doesn't drop it, eh? He takes a second attempt. You can't understand them, he takes another shot at you. Here Jesus goes again. "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Let us pray for this message before we get going. Father, we thank you for the immense privilege that we have to climb into your word. Lord Jesus, tonight we ask that your word cut straight into the depth of our hearts, Lord. Lord Jesus, may you establish yourself in our lives through your word, which is so pure, so accurate, so edifying. May it bring understanding, may it bring enlightenment. Where required, may it bring correction. But through all of this, Lord Jesus, may you be glorified. For that is the chief end of our lives, to see you glorified. So we honor you and we praise you, all in your mighty name. Amen. In John chapter 10, Jesus paints two specific scenarios for us. The first one is that of the Middle East shared sheep pen. I need to explain this to you a little bit. In the Middle East, there was a common tendency in certain towns for there to be one communal sheepfold in the town. So various shepherds with their flock would come and bring the sheep to this fold. So this sheep housed more than one shepherd's flock. At the same time, there was a single doorkeeper or a single watchman that regulated what shepherd brought and took what sheep from that fold. Right? Fold had a nice big gate. Doorkeeper would open, shepherd would bring his sheep in, close the gate. They stay there for the night. Shepherd comes a bit later, comes, fetches his sheep, and he goes on again. The shared sheep pen of the Middle East. Common thing that we found in the Middle East in those days. Now I want to draw attention to Jesus opening two lines. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He who enters the sheepfold by the gate is the shepherd." From this opening two lines, we draw the foundational principle for sound biblical leadership. I'm going to be speaking to two categories of people tonight. You decide where you want to be. I'm going to be speaking to the sheep And I'm going to be speaking to the under shepherds. You do with that whatever you want to. So sheep, based on the first principle, I want to say to you, what Jesus says in this is know who your legitimate under shepherd is. Full stop. Under shepherds, know what flock has been rightfully assigned to you. You see, a lot of misunderstanding around this principle hampers the process going forward. Now, I'm sure that without me explaining too much tonight, you can all draw your own conclusion about where I'm going with this one. Now, I'm going to say it to you right now. Tonight, we're going to chew, yeah? We're going to chew on stuff tonight. Because this principle is foundational, but it's the most important principle. It's the one that we tend to get wrong the most, and it's problematic for everything going forward. I'm going to allow the Lord to settle things in your lives tonight. So I'm not going to explain everything in detail. I'm going to give you a taste tester, and I'm going to allow Jesus to do the rest. So sheep, for many years we have been plagued with a misperception that we can choose our shepherd. Let me take it one step further. There's an alternative to that, that we can consult many shepherds. Now, don't get me wrong tonight. There's value in the latter, yeah? I'll paraphrase the book of Proverbs for you, and in that light, the Bible says that there's the opportunity and potential to find good fruit in the multitude of counselors. But you see, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm referring to in this statement is our tendency to opt for the flavor of the month. Who knows what I'm speaking about now? The hands are starting to go up. What's the flavor of the month? It's what I call shepherd hopping. Choose my shepherd as time goes on. Because I want to connect with a shepherd that tells me what I want to hear. Shepherd hopping. Flavor of the month. Choosing a new shepherd every month. When one says something I don't want to hear, I'll go to another one. I will continue to jump from shepherd to shepherd until I hear what I want to hear. I made a statement earlier and I said that the laws of the kingdom of God cannot be swayed by what we believe to be good for ourselves. Full stop. I'll let the Lord Jesus sort out the rest in lives tonight. At the other end of the spectrum, I first need to ask you all to smile. Thank you very much. I've never been a serious preacher. Yeah, I leave that little white thing at home, and I open my shirt, and I take my glasses off so that you can all relax. All right, at the other end of the spectrum, I'm now busy with the under-shepherds. We have this false sense of entitlement. You see, what I'm referring to is the false sense of entitlement that comes with a leadership badge. The right that we have to speak into people's lives. Because I'm a leader in the kingdom of God, I have a right to speak into your life. Rubbish. But don't get me wrong, there's value in that. Don't get me wrong. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a duty to encourage each other, support each other, motivate each other, bring direction where it's required. All of those things is needed. The only problem with that is we must know that you earn the right to speak into someone's life. No leadership badge entitles you that right. You earn that right. And let me take it one step further. Even if you've earned that right, the legitimate point of entry is through the door via the under shepherd. Guess what I'm going to say now? Full stop. I'll let the Lord Jesus sort out the rest. I said to you, tonight we're going to chew. And we're going to chew on this principle first, because if we get this one wrong, we're going to get everything wrong. The scripture says, to him the doorkeeper opens. the shepherd, the true legitimate shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens, to no one else. And scripture says, and he enters in, he calls his sheep by name, they hear his voice, and he leads them out. Under shepherds, true authority derives itself from sincere investment into the lives of the sheep. True authority is established on the grounds of a legitimate relationship with the sheep. And this brings me to my second principle. With great authority comes great responsibility. You see, when the doorkeeper opens the fold for you and you walk in, scripture says you call your sheep by name. And it's only once that sheep hear your voice, recognize your voice, only then do they prepare themselves to follow you. You need to picture this with me. You're all picturing that shared sheepfold. It says if you're the shepherd, the doorkeeper will open for you. He regulates it. He knows you brought sheep. You walk in. You call your sheep by name. The sheep will hear your voice. They will recognize your voice. And they will prepare themselves to be led by you. So under shepherds, I want to say to you that your success lies in the relationship that you have with the sheep. It's really that simple. You need to know your sheep, and your sheep need to know you, and intimately. I'll tell you why intimately. This is a shared sheepfold, which means that many shepherds approach that fold. There's many different flock in that fold. So when you walk through that gate, they need to hear your voice. Your voice. You, the shepherd. They need to hear your voice. You see, we've got a problem here. Over the years, the sheep have equipped themselves with the ability to hear other voices. Who's to blame? Is the sheep at fault? Not always, eh? Depending on your relationship with the sheep, over the years, the sheep have adapted the ability to hear other voices. And what does that mean for us? When you enter the fold and you call your sheep, they don't recognize your voice, which means that they are not going to follow you. So here comes the great question. Whose fault is it? When you enter that fold, call your sheep, and they don't follow when your voice is not known. Simple principle, eh? Christ says, red letter preaching. Christ says, they will by no means follow a stranger. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Simple principle for the under shepherds. I need us to pay a little bit of attention to the tone of voice that the shepherd uses as well. Now you can tell me I'm reading into scripture, but you're all going to see what I'm seeing now, because at no stage there, in this picture, when I look at it with my very vivid imagination that I have, which I know all of you have right now, you're all picturing the sheep pen, aren't you? You're picturing yourself standing there at the gate and checking out the sheep, and you're all doing it, so I know it's fine. So at no stage here do I pick up any hint that they're shouting at the sheep, they're screaming at the sheep, they're driving the sheep around with a whip, anything of the sort, by no means. It gets open, you call your sheep by name, and look what scripture says. The moment you do that, yeah, you call your sheep by name, you start walking. Because the sheep knows you, automatically the sheep follows you. Something important to understand. Under shepherds, I want to say to you, it is not our duty to drive or to force people into any direction. Scripture says the legitimate under shepherd will call his sheep, he'll walk, and they will follow for the simple reason they know his voice and they desire to follow him. There's a desire to follow him. You see, church, we need to be an example. I preached a series sometime in this year, The Heart of Joshua. It was all about authentic biblical leadership. There was something that made Joshua unique that we see here as well, was Joshua led from among the people. He was not raised up on some mighty platform with a loudspeaker calling out to people. Joshua led Israel into the promised land from among their ranks. This is what we see here. When the shepherd walks out, he walks before his sheep, which means that he's not sitting on a horse with a whip driving his sheep. Yeah? That's more than the oil-driven countries. This is a slightly different part of the Middle East that I'm talking about. Apologies for that, jokes aside. But, yes, terrible of me. But the shepherd walks from among the ranks of his sheep, and his sheep follows him. He's part and parcel. He's an example for them. He leads them by example. Under shepherds, it's servant leadership that we model. And it's our humble and trustworthy hearts that they follow. Seems like I'm on the under shepherd's case tonight, eh? Sheep. This side. Hearing the voice of the shepherd in the context of the scripture implies the following. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is more than using your ears, yeah? This morning I struggled. What's the Afrikaans for ornaments? It was ornamenta. Then I feel like an idiot. Anyway, it's more than using these ornaments here. Hearing the voice of the shepherd. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is more than an intellectual understanding. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is receiving it, holding this close to your heart, making it your own, and obeying it. And I'll leave each and every one of you to figure out what that is. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is receiving it, accepting it, making it your own, and obeying it. I'll tell you one thing, sheep, that no shepherd in those days or in this day can lead any flock irrespective of his divine calling if the sheep are not prepared to follow. It's as easy as that. The second image that Jesus paints for us through John chapter 10 is that of the field sheep. The field sheep is an enclosure. Who of you knows Heidi? Used to come on TV. Ooh, kom jy ouderdom uit. Yuri. Yuri wrote the script for Heidi. I'm only teasing, brother. Whenever I picture the field sheep pen. I got this picture of Heidi, and it's like, I don't know when, what episode I've seen it, but it's stuck there, somewhere in the Berge there. I'm going to start singing the song now, so let me just move on before it gets seriously awkward in here tonight. So, the field sheep pen is an enclosure. It could be a cave, but the picture that I normally have of this is this little brick house, this mud brick house that stands there somewhere up in the field, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. You watch TV as well. I'm not the only sinner. So you know what you've seen it somewhere in your life. You've seen this picture. Up there, that luscious green grass, is this little hut structure standing there. This hut structure doesn't have a door. It's some sort of rundown house or something of the sort. Yeah. So the shepherd's in the field with his flock, and it comes to evening, and he needs to find shelter for them. And he sees that little enclosure, and he takes his sheep up to the enclosure, and he says to them, come into the enclosure, whether it's a cave or this little house picture that I have in my mind, whatever works for you, that's what it is, the field sheep pen. You see, the trick with the field sheep pen is that enclosure never has a door. So if it's a cave, there's no big rock just standing there waiting to be rolled over. There's no electric rock that moves on a railing there that closes up for you. That doesn't exist there. So the sheep go in. And in typical sheep fashion, they walk in this way and they all chill this way for the night. Yeah? They don't look behind them. All right. So I don't know what the big problem is, because none of them ever did this and tried to walk out. Because the grass is normally coming up out of the foundations and stuff, and they're chowing lekker on the inside. But you see, here's another principle that Jesus holds before us, because the shepherd, under those circumstances, he lays himself across the door. Say what you want to about the intelligence of the sheep. That's not what I'm preaching about tonight. But the shepherd lays himself across the front of the door for two simple reasons. It keeps the sheep in and it keeps wolves out, to the extent that the shepherd can keep them out. But what you need to understand is what Jesus says so often is, I am the door. That shepherd is the door to that enclosure. Which brings me to my third principle. A good under shepherd will protect the sheep from harm. Now I'm going to pass the statement. I passed the statement at the morning service 2 weeks ago. And I said, as cliched as it is, it packs so much truth. You've all heard it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And protection is an outflow of sincere consideration for someone. Protection is an outflow of sincere consideration for someone. So under shepherds, it's your duty to protect the sheep from predators. It's your duty. Let's look at what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Now, even though Jesus meant this a little bit more literally than what's expected of us today, the concept stands there and it remains in place. Under shepherds, it's your duty to give your life for the sheep. Ooh, wow. I can see what Ina's writing there. Wow. Underlining it 3 times. You're not the only one. I'm checking as other people, the pen is my E. Wow. Kratani book. Underline. What a tall order. What a tall order for an under shepherd. It's your duty to lay down your life for the sheep. And this is where it becomes tricky. This is where any prospect of being an under shepherd or a rancher and right now is just to hell with it. This is the feel for me. But I want to tell you that it's really simple. And I want to show you that through the scriptures. Verse 12 says, a hireling, one who is not the shepherd of the sheep, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he flees. And he leaves the sheep on their own. And the wolf comes and he catches the sheep and he scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care for the sheep. So under shepherds, I want to say to you tonight that when things get sticky, you can't run. And now, hear my heart when I say this. If you're sincere about your calling, you wouldn't want to run. Because a true shepherd is all about the sheep and will hold the sheep in high regard. You know, to a reasonable extent, under shepherds, if the sheep have problems, it becomes your problems. And you work through them together. We need to learn to become a shield for the sheep. It's absolutely important. I often hear people say to me, that I'm extremely overprotective of my sheep. Guess what? Yes, I am. Why? I'm the legitimate under shepherd. Which means that this under shepherd here, he needs to give an account for every single sheep and their welfare. Divinely appointed shepherd of the sheep. Appointed by God. So the time will come when I need to give an account for every single sheep that's been entrusted to me. How on earth can someone challenge me for being overprotective of the sheep? How can you challenge me on being overprotective of the sheep? You know, this has become such a reality that I needed to learn to change and accommodate my lifestyle to accommodate the sheep. Because the sheep's a priority. Look, I'm going to use my own example. Let me paint this picture for you. I've got a flock. In this congregation, that flock is 140 strong. You know why I'm telling you that? So that you know that I know how many sheep is in my sheepfold. 140 on the dot sheep in my sheepfold. I promise you, I can name them all. Every single one of that 140. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not putting myself up here to boast or to glory. I can only speak out of my own life. There are many under shepherds sitting here that can do exactly the same thing. I know where my sheep are sitting tonight. I know them by name. Church. This becomes sticky at some stage in your life. You know what? The Lord has blessed me with a phenomenal wife. Not yet tonight. Because she's busy looking after my phenomenal 5-week-old baby. Woohoo! Say my no woohoo until you hear a cry. Why you think I preached a double morning and evening? I'm just trying to get out of the house. I'm teasing, people, I'm teasing. I tell you, I had a whole of 2 hours sleep between last night and this afternoon. I'm full on zombie nation. But I tell you, I'm still giving you the truth, yeah? Still the word of God, no matter how tired I am. He said, I need to paint this picture for you. I have one seriously phenomenal wife, and I have a little bundle of joy. Oh, my word, you must see her, yeah? A little papa's little Adida. Oh, man, she's gorgeous. This is where it gets real. As much as I love my wife and I love Megan, my wife knows that God's number one. And she knows she can't take pole position. Something we established with each other at a very early stage in our relationship. Livy, you're number two. Because the king's number one. And that shouldn't be a problem for her to accept because I should be her number two. The day I'm her number one, we got a problem. I've then taken the place of the king. You see, besides Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, the triune God that's number one in my life, number two is my wife. Number three is Megan. Number four. Someone needs to say this to the church. Because no matter what pastor, what preacher stands up here, I promise you, in that order, depending on the amount of kids that that pastor has, your number's going to change. But hear me, church, you're always going to be number four. And you shouldn't have a problem with that. Because even though my sheepfold is number four, ask anyone in my fold if they feel they're not a priority to me. They're still a priority to me. And I've learned to adapt my life to make them a priority. So sheep, you need to hear me tonight. You cannot want to be the under shepherd's number one. You guys are hearing me, eh? You can't want to be the under shepherd's number one. And at times it's an inability to soberly manage the expectation we have of the under shepherd that becomes a bomb waiting to explode. You guys understand that? You have this expectation of the under-shepherd. And if we don't manage that in a sober way, it's a bomb waiting to explode. You can't be that under-shepherd's number one. But I'll tell you one thing. If he's sincere about what God has called him to, you're a priority in his life. And he will make time for you. Or she will make time for you. When we don't manage this expectation that we have, that is when we fall into the arms of a hireling. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved. They will go in and out and find pasture. Sheep, I promise you this. It is the duty of the under shepherd to lead you to Christ so that you can find pasture. A hireling. A hireling is seldom around long enough to witness you graze on the grass for the first time. That I promise you. A hireling is seldom around long enough to see you graze for the first time. So whether we picture the field sheep pen, that's wrong, the shed sheep pen, or the field pen. Same like this morning, there's too many shed sheep pen. You know, I was going to play Shaun the Sheep. Who knows Shaun the Sheep? Anyone? Superhero sheep. I was going to play you a little snippet from that, but yes, let's not go there. All right, so there's no Shaun the Sheep snippet coming. But whether you're considering the shed pen or the field pen, there's something common to both. And this brings me to the fourth principle, is that the under shepherd keeps the sheep together. You're with me. Too many ships. The under-shepherd keeps the sheep together. Let's go back to the scriptures one more time. Verse 16. Jesus says, and other sheep I also have, which are not of this fold. Them too I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. in the context that Jesus is speaking in, he's speaking to Jews. So when Jesus says that other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them too I must bring, he's basically saying that inclusion into the kingdom of God will not be limited to scent, race, social class, gender. The kingdom of God is open to everyone. So under shepherds, I want to say to you tonight, desire growth and embrace diversity. People are our core currency. People are our most significant asset. People are also our biggest struggle. Under shepherds, ranch hands in the house, what makes church difficult? People. Because people are difficult. Makes it difficult. Yet I want to say to you, desire growth and embrace diversity. You know what we at times need to do is invest in some conflict management skills. I want to say to you, learn how to handle conflict and embrace conflict. Because the sheepfold, man, we all know it gets tricky when it gets busy in there, yeah? Especially when the spotted sheep rock up a little late at the party, yeah? They're like the tequila swinging sheep. Yeah, things get wild in the sheep pen when they rock up. But it's fine. In the sheep pen can be absolute chaos. In the world is absolute chaos. Embrace it. That's what the kingdom of God is about. People and diversity. I want to say to you, under shepherds, it's your duty to keep that chaos there focused on one thing, which is Christ Jesus. And to do that, equip yourself in whatever way you need to do that. Sheep? Our Lord Jesus once said, it is by this that you will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. So when you're standing in that sheepfold, no matter how busy it gets, I want to say to you, desire growth and embrace diversity. Because that's real. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And when it becomes hard to do that on the inside of that sheepfold, I'm going to ask you to remember one simple truth. Jesus Christ voluntarily laid down his life for that unity. Full stop. No matter what it looks like on the inside of that sheepfold, remember this one truth. Jesus Christ voluntarily laid down his life for that unity in that sheepfold. Jesus, like a good shepherd, died protecting the sheep, and it's that that draws us together. It's that that gives us a common identity. The fact that he died for each and every single one of the sheep on the inside of that fold. Church, I tell you, we are one flock. We are one flock. We are one together. So when it gets sticky on the inside there, I want to encourage you, extend grace towards each other. Extend grace to the person next to you. That tequila-yielding spotted sheep, extend grace to that sheep. Christ paid a price for that life. That life's on the inside of that fold for a reason. We extend grace towards each other and we learn to work this out together. And the band come up in the meantime. You see, whether you're taking on the image of a sheep or under shepherd tonight, at the end of this day, this message speaks to both. You sitting here, you draw from both. I want to put this picture together for you. Let me just make some way here for the sheep. Due to construction, we all need to come in by the door. You see, this is such a biblical principle. Coming in by the door. Huh? And where's that gate? Just swing that gate open quickly. All right. Guys, let me knit this thing together for you. Because there's a thread. running through John chapter 10. I won't put it together for you because there's a certain verse I left out. And it's usually the only verse we know in John chapter 10, and that's verse 10, yeah? Because that's the one we like to quote. But I need to knit this thing together for you. I want to say to you, whether you're a sheep or an under shepherd, right? If you perceive the master's voice and you obey it, you'll be protected from harm. As a result of your obedience and that protection, you will find abundant pasture. And because of the true shepherd's sacrifice, we are one unified, united flock. That is the story of John chapter 10. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. So let me quote the verse that we all know. John 10 verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, church, I want to encourage you around this because that passage of Scripture we know, that passage of Scripture we hold on to because it's a beautiful promise. Many people have asked me to give them a biblical definition of salvation, and I say to them, John chapter 10, verse 10, all of you that have sat through Bible school and all my salvation teachings, it's the one thing I will quote, the biblical definition of salvation. There it is. Let me unpack that for you. Jesus says that in this world there's a reality. The reality is the enemy. There's nothing you can do about it. We live in a world where he reigns. And Jesus goes further and says within the confines of this world, that man that reigns on this earth as the enemy is only here to do three things to you. He's going to steal from you, he's going to kill you, and he's going to destroy you. So Jesus says he's up to no good. The reason why we love this passage of Scripture is we understand that when we picture this world as distorted and perverse as it is, Jesus Christ says, I have come and placed myself in the middle of it, in the midst of all this madness. Here I am, the King of glory, come to give you two things, life and life in abundance. And it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing Christ is speaking of. He says that in this world, I will give you eternal life. Eternal life. And while you're in this world, let me show you my glory. Let me show you what life in abundance looks like. Many of you can picture a cup standing under open tap. Put your cup under that tap and open that tap and walk away. You want to pour water into that cup, go fetch your little calcivita that you want to drop in there, whatever it is. You turn back and you look at that zinc and that cup is overflowing. Yeah? The water's running over the sides. That, dear church, is life in abundance. A cup that overflows. A vessel that cannot contain what flows through it. It's the glory of God in this earth. And Jesus says, yes, I'll give you eternal life. But while you're on this earth, I will let your cup overflow in the midst of the enemy, in the midst of the perversion, in the midst of that distortion. That is salvation. That is life in abundance. And Christ says, I will give that to you. I will give that to you. So we all hold on to this passage of Scripture that is the greatest picture of salvation. But you can't take a principle and pull it out of the hole. We need to look at everything together. Which means that this beautiful picture that I painted for you belongs in the context of what I spoke of tonight. So if we can't understand the principles of the kingdom of God, we can't reap the abundant pasture. Far too easy to take one principle out of the whole. Church Christianity was never going to be easy. Salvation was never going to be easy. But we have the ability to reap what the Lord holds before us. Can I ask you all to stand with me as I finish up? We need to understand that this gift of abundant life lies within the context of the greater John 10. Which means that we need to learn, to lead, and to follow. Not only the success of the church, but your welfare, the quality of your salvation, depends on your ability to both lead and follow. What was Jesus' words? I am the door. Whoever comes in through me will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. He's not saying that you can come to him and backslide and come and go as you please. He's speaking about an ability just to flow in and out of him, to do life in and out of him, that no matter where you are, whether you're in him or you're in the world, you're in abundant pasture. True salvation that only Jesus Christ can offer you. A life that we yearn for, that only Jesus Christ can offer us. It's the most beautiful picture. You know how beautiful it is when this thing happens in real life and we experience in our own lives the abundant pasture that the Lord speaks of. Church, there's no turning back. Christ has value in his words when he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, they too I will bring. He says, you will hear my voice, and we will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Church, I want to tell you tonight, there's sheep here that believe they are not of this fold. But there's, for an individual, for one individual, for the first time, you're hearing the voice of the true shepherd. There's more here tonight. The difference is you've heard the voice before, calling you, saying, come. Become part of my sheepfold. You will become part of the one flock. You will flourish under the one true shepherd, that is Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to prolong this evening, but I'm going to ask all to close their eyes just to make it easy. The lights are off. I can't really see a single thing that's going on here, but the Spirit of the Lord will guide me like a torch. Because I know that the King is calling out to sheep tonight, saying, come, come my son, come. This sheepfold is where you belong. Abundant pasture is what you deserve. And I want to say to you, you deserve it. The price Christ paid on the cross is for you as well. You see, Jesus Christ's salvation and his leadership is not based on principles of exclusivity. Inclusion into the kingdom of God is for all. The ability to pasture and graze in the field is for all. So I'm going to ask those that are hearing the voice of the true shepherd tonight, all eyes are closed, it's really dark, I can't see past the first two front rows, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step tonight. You're hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying to you, tonight's your night, come. You need to be part of this.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.